Welcome to the Easy to Swallow podcast, where we take hard to swallow topics and break them down into digestible bits so the truth goes down smoothly. Yeah. Hello, swallowers. Today we're exactly where the magic first began, in Josh Barrow's bedroom. Josh is currently sitting on his bed. I am facing him. And we're basically in a triangle with Frankie on the other side.
My dream threesome has finally happened.
Except we're all 6 feet apart in a triangle.
Yeah, we're social distancing here.
Yeah, social sexting.
Yeah.
Sexually distancing.
Yeah.
No?
We are sexually distancing. All of our clothes are currently on.
Yes, definitely on in this room.
And so is the mic.
I call it the Mormon triangle.
The Mormon triangle. I feel like this is like
Except
a little bit
no
of a...
no one is getting pregnant.
I'm pregnant. Actually, considering Frank is here, she's more of the man than me. I'm going to get pregnant from her than the other way around.
Oh my God.
Well, we should probably introduce her.
I think so. But considering I just met her, I'm not sure how to introduce her.
Well, this is how I would introduce her.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. I am Frankie, and we are currently in a little bit of a love triangle, question mark? I don't know. We're in a triangle, and I feel like that's where this is going. Or maybe this
is a
natural foreshadow to the threesome talk we're going to have later.
Well, you saw my shower, and I know that turned you on, so that's why I got it. So, so just so you guys know, how I met Frankie is through... an individual who was on our episode before, episode three or four, first class alpha male Ryan, if you remember him. Frankie here used to somewhat date him, and I don't know if you want to talk about that a little, but he said you were brought up in that episode.
Yeah,
you didn't know.
I heard, and I was a little surprised that I was even brought up, to be quite frank.
Why? Oh, nice pun. To be quite Frankie, that's what you say.
To be quite Frankie.
There you go.
I like that. That is a nice pun. Oh, man. Yeah, Ryan. Yeah, my problem is that I love military men, so that right there should just explain it, but...
Why?
It's a red flag. Wait, what's
they're all, like, fucking out of their minds, all the military guys. They're crazy, but they're so sexy, but they're crazy.
Okay. we'll delve into that later.
All right, so Ryan, right? Yeah, I mean, I guess we met through Brandon and Ryan at the same time because you were there that night and then Brandon had invited me out when they were at the strip club. So I seen Brandon.
He wasn't there. So that's why. Okay.
Yeah. I think you had just left when I showed up because it was like 5 a.m. I don't know. It was like some random time. I was already out.
I always Irish exit Ryan because he is an enabler.
Yeah. Understandable.
And so whenever he comes to Vegas, I'm like, yeah, I'll be out there all night. And then I just dip out like around 1:30.
Yeah.
And I don't say anything to anyone.
No, you're like I am. I actually am an Irish goodbyer too because I'm the type of person if people are getting too shitty. You're not ruining my night, and I will gladly move on to the next
group. And that's Ryan.
Because I'm a happy drunk, and then, like, people like Ryan, they're...
Yeah, shitty, shitty, bang, bang, every time. So you dated, or did... Was it a fling? It was a fling.
All right, so let me explain. Yeah. Let me explain. So pretty much, I show up to the strip club, and Brandon was there. I only knew Brandon, and then Ryan was on the couch. And, of course, he grabbed me by my arm, pulled me on his lap, and was like, I don't want no dancer here. I want you, baby girl. And so I'm pretty sure any girl is going to love that when they're getting chosen over all the beautiful dancers that are
in the
club.
Well, I got arrested when I did that, but yeah, go ahead.
So pretty much from there, we ended up hanging out all weekend, and it was really fun. And Ryan is definitely a cool guy. He is the type of person that he explained where he, like, has those southern manners. You know, he opens doors, he pays for everything, blah, blah, blah. So pretty much, I don't know, I feel like Ryan has been drinking a lot because his story did not make any sense. I was really confused.
He was drunk during that episode.
Yeah, I was like confused. I was like, what is this guy talking about right now? But yeah, so like after that weekend we had in Vegas, we kept in contact and we like flirted with each other on Facebook or whatnot. And then my birthday rolls around and he was like, you know, I want to fly you and your best friend out, my friend Bree, and then he also flew Brandon out since Brandon's one of my guy best friends.
I remember this now. Yeah,
him and Brandon are close. So here we are, me, Bree, and Brandon. We're flying to Dallas, and we show up, and we stay at Ryan's, and everything went pretty well. And then the one night we went out, we got, like, this whole party bus. Ryan invited, like, his whole family and some friends for, like, my birthday. And so far, so good. And then in the middle of the night when we were at the one club, his aunt was, like, you know, she was just, like, a hot mess. She was so fun, but she was a hot mess. And we go into the bathroom, and she had a weed pen, and I was just, like, on my phone, and this cute little Spanish girl came into the bathroom, and we're just bullshitting or whatever, and she's like, oh, can I hit the weed pen? Oh, let me add you on Instagram. I'm like, all right, here you go. Give her the weed pen, give her my phone to add herself on Instagram, and then drunk aunt falls to the ground, so I'm, like, trying to help up the drunk aunt, you know, and then the Spanish girl's gone. Just completely gone with my phone.
With your phone?
And the weed pen. Yes. Oh. This girl stole my shit. Stole my shit. And so I'm fucking pissed off at this point. So I bring the aunt back to Ryan and the table. They're all drinking. Ryan's already, like, out of control doing his own thing. And I see Brandon, and I'm like, you know, it's us three Jersey people. So I'm like, we gotta stick together right now. I'm pissed off. I want to go outside. I don't even smoke cigarettes, but I'm like, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette.
Wait, you didn't find this girl?
No, couldn't find her. She was just gone. So
moral of the story, do not let anyone add themselves on Instagram.
Yeah,
on your phone.
Don't let them take your fucking phone.
Especially
so
if they're Spanish. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Okay, so we're definitely going to edit that
I'm
out.
I'm Spanish, so I could say that, so it's all good.
So, so literally we're outside and I'm fucking smoking this cigarette. And don't you know, these freaking kids are all arguing, and then the one kid pulls out a gun and shoots the kid in the fucking leg. This is what Ryan was talking about.
Okay.
Shoots the kid in the
leg.
He
didn't explain any of this, remember? It was out of the story.
Well, he said that somebody got shot. He did mention that.
Yeah, but
that.
we were both like, what the hell?
Yeah, because his story was like all
retarded.
Well,
you put it in context now, so,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so that's what had happened. This kid got shot, and you know, like, being in the Philadelphia and Jersey area growing up, you know, for me personally, I've seen some shit. So I'm just like, oh my God, this kid got shot. But my girlfriend, on the other hand, you know, she started hyperventilating and panicking and just started running away. And so me and Brandon are chasing my friend, like, literally 10 blocks, like 10 blocks. We chased after this girl. But, like, you can't be mad at somebody for being upset.
I actually don't blame her, though.
Yeah,
for,
yeah. Either.
I don't, yeah.
Yeah, but
I
it wasn't.
I like to stay away from conflict. So my first instinct would be get as far as possible away from the crime scene.
Well, especially
scene.
With gunfire, you get in a completely different mindset.
Yeah.
So what was crazy is when the shooting happened here,
yeah,
people ended up at Topgolf.
Mm-hmm.
You know how far that is from where the shooting happened?
It's insanely
People
far.
Just kept running, and because you don't know what to think. So actually, that actually seems like 10 blocks actually seems kind of normal.
Yeah, but me and Brandon were like annoyed because the kid got shot in the leg, and the guy that shot the kid like ran away. So
but wait, did she
like,
run anywhere in particular? Or she
no,
just ran.
She just ran away. We don't know where we are. We're in the middle of Dallas. We came with fucking Brian. Like, come on now. And so, yeah, so ended up she ran away 10 blocks. We calmed her down. Things were good. Well, my phone was stolen, so I can't get a hold of Ryan. Brandon can't get a hold of Ryan. Bree can't get a hold of Ryan. So we're sitting there, like, just trying to get a hold of this kid. We don't have...
Wait, where was he earlier in the... Was he with you
So
guys?
They were at the club, because remember, it was, like, a whole party bus.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And I wanted us to go outside, because I needed to smoke.
Yeah, okay.
And then the shooting happened, yeah. And then, so now we're, like, we have no fucking idea where we are. There's so many people out. It was a weekend. And we're just trying to get a hold of Ryan. Couldn't get a hold of this kid. Like, we were literally, like, waiting around for, like, almost a half hour. And then I was like, all right, screw it. You know what? We'll just Uber to his house. We Uber to his house. We're waiting there for an hour. Even, like, me and Brandon and Bree were just so pissed. We were like, wow, this guy really isn't answering us. Come to find out, they went back to his mom's house or whatever, and he got into a fist fight with one of his other friends. So what that's why. Nice. Yeah, he's like crazy. He's just like biting people and shit. And so I ended up having to just get us a room. Like, we just had to get a room.
I'm so exhausted. I know. I feel like we were like, but wait, there's more.
I know. I just like keep like, it's like ridiculous when it happened.
Fucking ShamWow.
Yeah, I know. I was like still shook about your phone being taken away.
I know. And then someone gets shot. Yeah.
And then there's a fist fight. And
it really puts things in perspective. Oh, I lost my phone. Motherfucker got shot.
Yeah, and then we get a freaking room, and then we're just dying. Like, at this point, we're like, how does this happen to us? How does this? This is like the most random group, like random three Jersey people. We're stuck in the middle of Dallas. Like, we can't get a hold of this guy. Like, what the fuck is life right now?
Keyword Jersey. Jersey people.
Thank God, like, Brandon is just like a really good guy friend of ours, and he like really took care of us and just like made sure we were safe the rest of the night. And like, he was really helpful in calming my friend down. So shout out to Brandon. Thank you for being so calm and like keeping everything together.
I love Brandon.
Yeah.
Not the Brandon we, not that Brandon. It's a different Brandon.
Oh, it's a different Brandon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He works at Tao.
Okay.
Oh, crap.
Well, we'll just bleep that out.
Actually, that's good for him. A good guy works at Tao Nightclub, and you should do all your business through him.
Yeah, Brandon is like a VIP host for Tao, and everybody should do their business through him.
Hey,
he's like the most professional, legit guy I've ever met when it comes to the Vegas nightlife.
And most importantly, he looks just like Tom Hardy. So if you really like Tom Hardy, that's his name, right? Tom Hardy? Yeah, yep, Tom Hardy, yeah.
And he does the impression so good, too. Yeah,
even his Bane.
Yes, yes.
Is this how Brandon talks? No.
That was Bane. Much better. That was Bane from Batman. I'm just being stupid though, and people listening won't get that because they couldn't see me, so it's kind of pointless.
It's all good. But to kind of wrap up this story here, so like the next day we like couldn't even get a hold of him until noon. And then like we met up with him at some bar, kept the drinking up, and then that was that. And so I don't know why he said I wasn't even supposed to be there. He flew me out. And then the next weekend, it was his buddy's birthday, and he came out to Vegas. And we had, like, such a good time. And then, you know, like, it's just Ryan is kind of a jerk when he drinks, like, to be honest with you. And he just got really angry the one night and, like, flipped out on me. And I work for Tao Group myself. So it was just, like, really frustrating that he's, like, yelling at me at my job. And I'm like, can we not do this right now? Like, this is ridiculous. And so, like, him kind of yelling at me was just, like, the end of that relationship. Because, like, I'm not going to fucking put up with that shit. Like, just, like, stupid drama. And at the end of the day, like I said, Ryan is true to his word with, like, being like a southern gentleman, but he's just definitely not the type of person that you want to drink with for a couple of days, because on that last day, he's definitely getting really shitty and angry.
He's kind of impulsive.
Yeah.
And when you combine drinking with impulsiveness, it usually is a short fuse.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's not Ryan's fault in particular. I feel like that's just like a common thing with military men. You know?
So listen, this is, and Mary, feel free to chime in with this with your friends. So I'm actually friends with more girls than guys. So I hear a lot of these stories about relationships and everything.
Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, not to put a number on it to be like scientific, but let's just say from what I'm just guessing, 90% of the girls I know that date a military guy had a bad experience, and I don't understand this.
I can help you understand it. My best friend's in the Navy, and I've had a lot. Yeah, and then I've had a lot of friends that are also in either the Navy.
Does she date other military?
She likes to stay away from people like that are in the military, but she has dated people.
I wish I could.
But I think it's because she sees what happens, especially think about it. Like, these guys are traveling all over the world. They have no stable life. I mean, even
they're getting put in fucked up situations, right? Like, we can't ever understand that unless we're a part of
it. I've heard of a lot of physical abuse. That's all. That's the main thing I've heard more than anything.
Well, it's also a lot of cheating, because if you're away from your spouse or your significant other for a really long time, you're likely to just go for what's near you. After, you know, 6 months being away from somebody and not having that intimacy anymore. And I've just even seen some of my personal friends go through divorces, and they have kids with that person, and then it just doesn't work out because there's a lot of cheating.
Yeah.
Usually.
See, I feel like not all women are like this. I'm definitely like a rare type of person, but I'm a realist.
Well, you do look like a unicorn right now.
I know, with my hair.
Beautiful unicorn.
But you gotta add some magical touches in there once in a while, you know? But I feel like I'm a realist, right? And I feel like when it comes to a military type of relationship, now, me personally, I'm always into older guys. So the guys that I date were in the military, like, when they were younger, and now they're, like, in their 30s or whatever. But I tend to date, like, Marines. I'm, like, specific when it comes to, like, loving my Marines. And they're the type of guys that, like, re-enlisted a couple of times because of that fucking batshit crazy that they love the military that much. But at the end of the day, like, if I were to have been the type of girl to date a military man while he was active, I would have looked at it with the perspective of, you know what, maybe we should dive into this as, like, an open relationship type of thing, just because I don't want to hurt myself, right?
Are you polyamorous?
Huh?
Are you polyamorous?
No, I wouldn't say that I'm, like, poly, because, like, for me, when I date, if, like, I'm going to be open like that, I'd rather it just be, like, me and my dude and we fuck a bunch of chicks.
Okay,
I really like girls more than guys, so I would rather, like, us be hooking up with girls rather than add another guy into the mix, because let's be honest here. When you're in an orgy, only one dick is good. Like, who wants multiple penises? So, like, I just want boobs and ass in my face and one dick.
I sure don't. Okay, so I know you kind of want to talk about this, so I'll bring it up for you.
But wait, we gotta finish, like, what I was saying, because, like, with the girls, like, in perspective of that, like, I just feel like you should go into that type of, like, mindset, whereas, like, okay, if you guys are going to be away for a year, you should have the talk, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you both comfortable with? You know, because some guys, they actually aren't, you know, there are guys out there that are loyal. I feel like that's, like, 97%. Or, I mean, 3%.
I was like, damn, she's optimistic.
I feel like 90% of men wouldn't be loyal, and, like, 3% of men would be loyal. That's what I'm trying to say. Sorry.
Like, he's been doing her own expert studies here.
Yeah.
No. So there's always been an interesting quote by Chris Rock.
Yeah.
He said a man will always be as faithful as his options.
I don't fucking know. I just know if a guy's going to go away for a year, he's going to want to stick his dick in something. Like, you got to be, like, real here. You got to be real. Like, if you're going to be away from each other for a year, like, you really don't think that person's not going to have other thoughts about, like, another woman or something?
So,
like, I just feel like you should allow them to have that option, just like they should allow you to have that option, you know? Like, I'm the type of person where I could turn off feelings. If it's just sex, then it's just sex. Whereas, like, if I know it's going to be a relationship, then I'll start to actually like that person. But if we're going to be away from each other for a year, I'm absolutely 100% going to have that conversation with that person. Listen, we are going to be away from each other for a year. You know, if you're comfortable with maybe creating an open relationship out of this just for the year, because we're not going to see each other, I'm fine with that, because I don't want you to sit there and then, like, cheat on me and it be weird and, like, ruin our relationship afterwards. I'd rather just know, okay, like, it's cool for me to do my own thing and you do your own thing. And if we still have the same feelings a year from now, then we will absolutely work on a relationship together. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it separates me from having heartache. That's pretty much all it is. Because then if you go to the mindset of it where they're going to be away for a year and, like, you're supposed to absolutely be loyal to each other and then something happens, it never ends well.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think it should be an open conversation, and a lot of times people don't have that conversation because
they're scared.
Right.
And I feel like people need to normalize saying what's on their mind and, like, being mature and, like, having those types of conversations, because by time you're 21, I feel like you fully know yourself, like, what sexual things you like. I mean, when you're 21, you're definitely getting there. Like, you're a grown-ass adult at that point.
I lost my virginity at 23. So I don't think this applies to anyone.
21.
Well, you're a late bloomer, man. I mean.
I should probably explain that on the podcast. Now everyone thinks I'm probably like a leper. I was trying to wait till marriage. That's the truth.
Aww, and that's cute.
See, yeah, everyone says that, but they don't fuck him. So it's like a scarlet letter in a sense, in a different usage, but you get the point. Mm-hmm. So actually, lost it to a girl that worked at Tao. Really? So bringing back Tao again, you know, Tao was the shit back in the day.
Yeah, Tao nightclub, guys.
So, yeah.
Lose your virginity.
Lose your virginity at Tao nightclub.
Sponsor us.
Yeah. Oh god, here we go again. So here's my thinking on that. Okay, so I have had a very, and you both know about my recent travels. So I've had like a change of heart in the past 2 months.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is really weird for me because, and you both know me. I mean, Mary knows me really well. I think you know me fairly well, but Mary knows me really well.
I'm getting to know you much better now. So I appreciate our friendship.
I'm the type, I don't cheat. I don't treat a girl bad. Like any of my exes would vouch for me, you know. After what happened in Colombia, I have this weird mindset now, and I feel like it's gonna eventually like make me look like a jerk. Because
no, I feel like the older you get, the weirder it gets.
See, here's the thing.
The weirder it gets.
But that's why I disagree.
I now don't have the barrier. I don't think physically cheating is cheating anymore.
Well, I mean, if you're with somebody and, like, you guys are on the mindset that it's just you two, then, like, yeah, cheating is a shitty thing to do.
No, you shouldn't
go behind your partner's back. But I feel like if you're the type of person that you know you're not going to be loyal to just one person, you should be with a like-minded individual that's okay with your sexuality and the things that you want to do. And I feel like that's a problem in today's world, is that at such a young age, we're kind of trained to feel like sex is like a bad thing. It's gross. It's dirty, right?
In America,
yes.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying. By the time you're 21, you're fully developed. You're an adult. You're not listening to your parents. And I feel like you should allow yourself to be who you are and have those types of conversations, because I feel like it would cut out so much drama if people were just honest about like the things that they're into. Because you can absolutely find somebody that's into the same shit
you
that you
take
are.
Sex ed in school?
Yeah, like in like fifth grade they started.
It was a joke though, right?
Yeah.
It is an absolute joke. And I was going to bring, I agree with everything you're saying, but I think American culture views sex as a taboo topic. And yeah. I do think it goes back to sex ed. I actually wrote like papers on this.
When they're like, if you have sex, you will die.
No, it was awful.
Just like
it
weed
wasn't
back
sex
in the day.
Education.
Right?
They literally had the program that was like, your teacher goes up in front and he's like, hey guys, this is sex education. I literally have to stand up here and tell you to be abstinent until you're married, and basically taught us about STDs, scared the shit out of us, showed us a video of this unshaven woman giving like horrible birth, like scared the living hell out of you. Like, why would you ever want to have sex after watching that? You know, I grew up like, I'm originally from Bulgaria. And
okay.
So like, my values are very European. Hello, my name is Mary.
She tried to give me an accent the other day, and it was ridiculous.
I did. I literally was like, hello, how are you, Josh? Are you having such a good night tonight?
Oh, I love. We talk like this for the rest of night now.
Yes.
Okay,
we will talk
nice.
Like this on
oh,
the
my God. What have I done?
Night, Josh, how about that?
I'd like to apologize on behalf of our listeners.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Sex. Sexy time. All right, we're done.
You're like
all
a
right.
drunk
anyways,
Borat.
Back to the point. And we're back. Sorry, we had a little spasm moment there. But back to the point is, like, in Europe, people don't view sex as this horrible thing. You're taught sex education from a very young age. In fact, I still have an encyclopedia that was gifted to me about the body when I was 5 years old, and I was reading back then, and the education is very different. Like, you have like an animated illustration of like how sex works, and
it's called a porno.
No, that's how Americans get their education. That's why no one in America knows how to have sex.
You
want to
know how I learned about sex in American? You want to know how we learned about it? We used to have a black box. You remember what a black box was back in the day?
A black box.
You know what a black box was?
No.
So back in the day when you had cable TV, every cable box had a card. And that card determines what your service is. So you get an illegal card that gives you every channel.
I just remember girls going wild in the middle of the night when I was younger.
I
would wake up and I would be like, oh my God, my parents don't know this is on the TV.
Yeah,
and then that's when I realized I like girls at a young age.
So around
Girls Gone Wild.
So any guy in his 30s would hope like their family had a black box, because you know they all had a black box so they could watch like HBO Showtime. But all the guys my age that were like 10 to 12 or so, they would go to the dirty channels to, and that's how I learned about sex.
I feel like guys are so different than girls. So I feel like guys, by the time you're like 15 years old, you're on like page 20 or like 238 of Pornhub. Like,
well, no,
because you guys are going so deep.
Okay, wait. If you're on page 238 of Pornhub, you're looking at some fucking aliens, fucking hamsters or something. I don't even want to talk about that. Not like I know. I mean, I've heard.
I was going to say 27, but then I was like, wait, that's not far enough for a 15-year-old.
You know, I'm going to randomly go on Pornhub and just go to page 238 and see what's on there.
And we'll report back.
Yeah.
Should I do it right now? I mean, I have my laptop.
No. I just remember, I remember being in high school too with like the sex ed shit. One of the big things that went around was the blue waffle.
Oh,
did you
guys God.
Know what's that? The blue waffle?
Oh what, my Mary? God, girl.
They didn't.
Don't Google it.
Don't just, Google it. Blue waffle. Google that
it.
Was like
it's
the
a trick.
Thing.
It's a trick.
It's disgusting. It's like the most dirty vagina you've ever seen.
And we have our
seen.
Episode
Wait,
title.
Yes!
Blue waffle!
As Frankie's wearing a blue wig.
Yes. Oh my God, it's
How
perfect.
Festive. Wait, so this was taught in school?
No. This was a joke.
School, but
this was a trick.
After sex ed, the blue waffle thing is what came about. So, like, after sex ed and how they talked about, like, STDs are bad and
but
stuff.
Wait.
That was the thing. Like, the guys were, like, so obsessed with, like, blue
but
waffle
give her the example.
And just shove it in your face.
But give her the example how they tricked you. What do you think a blue waffle looks like?
What do you mean?
This is the trick. She knows what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, because it was...
What does a blue waffle look like?
Blue?
You want me to show you my phone what a blue waffle looks like?
How am I supposed to answer this? Like,
you know what a waffle
oh my gosh,
looks like?
So right, that is exactly what
that's
they
exactly,
used to do.
That's exactly the trick.
Make you
it's harmless.
Think it's a, like
it's
an
harmless.
Actual blue waffle that you eat, and then they would show you like this disgusting
it's a,
vagina.
It's a woman's vagina torn up, and that's what a blue waffle
and
is.
And it's like blue, like discharge and shit coming out of.
Oh.
Yeah, so the thing is, if you say blue waffle, it just sounds like,
I'm like
a blueberry.
Actually gagging,
yeah,
like
it's like a blueberry muffin. Do not throw up in my room.
Oh my God, Frankie, I'm like concerned.
It's okay. Hey.
Sorry, I like
regular,
gags when
regular
we, like,
waffles. Regular waffles. There you go. Okay.
Beautiful.
Sorry.
Delicious.
Okay, the new episode title is Gag Reflex. Okay. Okay.
No, just like
so,
thinking about it is making me so lightheaded.
It was fucking
like
gross.
The most disgusting thing.
It's
okay,
a torn up.
So I
yeah.
don't want
to. So, anyways, that's where she's getting at. Is it was like a trick. But
we didn't even show it, by the way, and she's gagging. So
I just can like imagine it, and it's like so.
Don't
foul.
Imagine. Jesus. Now I'm imagining.
Oh, traumatizing.
More wine. Oh God.
All right.
Okay, we're back.
All right, we're going to change the topic now so I don't throw up on Josh's floor.
It'd be memorable.
No, what?
But yeah, so I think you're absolutely right. Like in other countries, it's more normalized. In America, they make it like seem like this bad thing. And I feel like that's why a lot of people develop like these weird sexual problems because they suppress it.
Yes, 100%.
Instead of just like expressing themselves.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as drinking, right? Like Italy, what is it, 14? There's no drinking problems in Italy.
Yeah.
We have massive drinking problems here in America because I'm pretty sure we're the only one that's up to 21, or I mean a few others are. But
yeah,
this is where I love Europe. This is like the only time you'll like really see me have European pride is like everyone is so open there. Like even just the way my mom raised me.
Yeah.
We talk about sex. We talk about drinking.
Yeah.
Even when it came to drinking, like before I started drinking, she's like, Mary, I need you to like first start practicing at home if you're going to drink because I don't want you to make a fool out of yourself. I want you to be responsible.
Wow. No. So that's like a really nice thing your mom did for you.
But it also shows that she trusts her too. That's the most important part.
And so I guess what happened? Like I didn't want to drink in high school at all. Like my friends were all like doing it behind their parents' back. But I was like, well, my mom's not like telling me this is forbidden.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, whatever. I don't really care. So I started drinking after high school. But it's like everything is like normalized, whereas like I feel like a lot of American parents just have unrealistic standards.
You're so right.
They don't want to touch that topic of sex. They don't want to touch drugs. They don't want to touch alcohol. They don't want to touch like on any of those topics.
But
that I felt like if they had those open conversations, their kids wouldn't feel the need to break
so
the
personally
rules.
I think we were in the best generation. I really do.
Oh, I love our generation.
But I think there's been a switch on what you just said. I think they're too lax now. I think it's completely turned the dial, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, 2020, I feel like you kind of are right because everybody, everything offends everybody. And, like, everybody is, like, so, now, like, parents are just, like, you know, like making sure every child in the world is like non-binary, I feel like, which is like,
it's too much now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotten to the point where, like, you know, you shouldn't be sitting there twerking and doing TikToks with your 5-year-old.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I have seen some of those and it is a little ridiculous. I feel like there definitely is like, you want your children to be who they are, like if they're gay or whatever, 100%. But you don't want to, like, you don't need to teach your children too early. Like, let your kid be a kid.
Yeah.
And I feel like nowadays with the internet and whatnot, it's just like children are just growing up way too fast. And as an adult, I feel like you are 100% responsible for your child's time on social media. Mm-hmm. Because let's be real. Like, yeah, most of these parents are just kind of shoving a tablet in their kids' faces when you 100% do have control over your child. Like, let's be real here. If you have a child that's 5 and you don't want them to be on their iPad, then don't let them be on their iPad. And I feel like other parents are
they
like,
shouldn't
oh.
have an iPad.
Yeah, I feel like they're like, oh, well, it's the thing to do today. Or like, no, in reality, it's just the easy thing to
exactly.
do because it kind of shuts your kid up.
Yeah.
And you don't really have to deal with them. Like, you know, I'm 25, so I feel like I was that last generation
yeah.
of where we had to go outside and play. Mm. And so the generations underneath of me, you know, they're all raised on social media and whatnot. And I feel like now it's kind of our responsibility to really show these kids that, like, social media is fake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to build your child with confidence to allow them to be who they are and allow them to express themselves, but know that the internet is not always going to help them in the best way, because a lot of the times things that we see on the internet are fake.
So,
and you know how your mom was like chill with you? I'm blessed that my dad was the same way with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I got into high school, he totally knew I was going to go to parties and this, that, and the third. And he would always say, you know what, if you're in a bad situation, please just call me. I will come get you. And it'll,
exactly.
you know, having that comfort and stability, mm-hmm. I never felt the need to like go out of control or be wild. Cause like other parents or like other kids, they would be like, oh my God, my parents are gonna be so mad. My parents are gonna be this or that. And like in a weird way, we would get into a bad situation. And I would be the person that would be like, I'm calling my dad because my dad doesn't fucking care. Like I'm leaving. Like, you guys are being weird right now. You know, like how like just like certain random situations happen and you're like kind of in a bad spot and they would all be like, oh my God, my parents this, my parents that. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you guys. Like, I'm calling my dad. Like,
yeah.
Well, the like, sad thing is, I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, you said that the internet's not real. To them, this is their reality. Is whatever they see on social media is their reality. And that's why you have all these kids committing suicide and shit.
But that's why it's our responsibility, like, to, like, you know, because it's you guys that have children now. You know, I mean, plenty of my friends are 25 with, like, 3 kids. I just don't have kids at this moment.
Well, me and Mary Smart,
we don't
have kids.
I feel like 20, you know, 25 and up or whatever and up, if you're an adult and you have a child, you have the common sense to, like, teach your kid responsibility about social media and how things that they're going to see on there aren't realistic. And I feel like that's why a lot of kids are insecure, because parents aren't having those types of conversations. I remember all the time when I was younger, if I would complain somebody was bullying me, my mom and dad both said the same shit, and I didn't even live in the same house. You know, my parents weren't together, but they said the same shit. They'd be like, those kids aren't going to pay your bills when you're older. Who gives a fuck what they think?
Yeah.
But I'm like New Jersey Italian. So like my parents were like unusually a little aggressive about those types of situations.
But first of all, everyone got bullied though. That's the thing. I feel like that's a rite of passage in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently it's gotten worse.
People are coddling their kids.
Exactly.
They're not teaching their kids that one day you will get bullied and this is how you have to handle it. They're like just straight up like
they don't have thick skin.
This is a perfect example. So my ex, let's see, I was 28. She was 25. She had a 6-year-old. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first like male figure in his life, essentially, right? Because the dad was not involved at all. I taught this kid how to ride his bike, how to play baseball, everything, right?
Oh, that's sweet of you.
So when I was teaching him how to ride his bike, she was a super Kyler. Okay. And and the thing is, she didn't want him to fall. So I eventually stopped her and I said, he needs to fall.
Yeah.
And she didn't get it. And keep in mind, this is just like a 4 or 5 year difference. But also, I mean, if it's my kid, if it was my blood, like maybe I would. I don't think so though, because I think a kid
falling off of a bike rather than like falling off of the monkey bars is different. Like kids aren't really going
to
get that hurt.
But see, but look how far back this goes. When my dad taught me how to ride, he taught me to go hard as hell, right? And I had a horrible bike crash when I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah,
I could tell you this. To this day, I do not ride my bike like that. because I mean, the bite like went in, like the handle like went into my chest basically. Yeah. I ate it hard. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to ride my bike like a normal person now. And like, I got fucked up. I mean, I cut up knees, hands, yeah. and the chest.
No, they were and, gentle with me with riding.
Well, bikes, I think but. With a boy especially, I mean, you can't just toss a girl like that. But I think with a boy, I think that's, I just think they do. I think that's how a guy has to learn.
Yeah.
At least, like, dad should teach his son like that.
Are you kidding me? My dad used to just throw me in the pool.
You're kind of a
tomboy. And be like, you better kick and paddle or you're going to drown.
But you're kind of a tomboy. You're kind of a tomboy.
No, this is true. I did grow up on a farm.
So, but what I'm saying is that it was really glaring to me that just a few years difference and we had different, like, rearing patterns. And I in my mind, I was like, he needs to fall just once.
Yeah.
And then he's going to learn from that. And then she got it after I explained it like that.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting you bring this story up, because when I learned how to swim, my mom kept teaching me like the proper way, and she was very gentle with me, and she's
like, that must have been nice.
And well, so, but I never learned when she was like that. You know how I learned how to swim? I was in Miami. There was this drunk woman at the pool, and she kind of made friends with my mom. And so she's like, oh, your daughter doesn't know how to swim? Here, I'll teach her right now.
How old were you?
She just pushed me. I was 12. And so she pushed me in with the other kids. Oh my God,
that's like terrifying.
She's like, I was 25. I was like, oh.
But it worked because she kept doing it. Yeah. And then because I was like freaked out and I was scared, I was like, okay, well, shit, I guess I better start moving and doing some shit so I don't drown.
Yeah.
And then, but you're right. Sometimes like the your best instincts way. Instincts kick in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Survival instincts. You have to fight. You have to like.
Give them the basics and then let them go out on their own. Right.
Exactly. And it's a bigger metaphor for life, I feel like, because exactly. Like we have a lot of snowflakes right now. And that's, you know, if someone.
Snowflakes are not going to like this conversation.
And the snowflakes haven't been pushed in the pool enough. So you need someone to push you to drown you a little.
And especially.
But not fully drown you. But just
a couple seconds.
Yeah.
Low how it is, how it feels to drown.
And then I coached my sister's cheerleading team for 4 years. And you know, the thing is with little kids too, you got to let them learn their own lessons at the same time, right? Because like when you're an adult, you're a boring adult to them. You're just bossing around, nagging them. Like even though I was a cheerleading coach, you could tell they're little kids. They're going to get annoyed sometimes. And then especially like when you're, you know, trying to teach them a routine or a stunt and you want them to be as safe as possible and then they're still not like really listening to you, you kind of get to that point where you get frustrated because they're not listening. But then you also have to just let them learn for themselves and allow them to get hurt sometimes. You know, you never want to see a child gets seriously injured.
Right.
But when it comes to the small things, if they get a boo-boo, they get a boo-boo, and now they're going to learn to never do it again. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, me and you, we were lucky that we had, like, those types of parents that had, like, the real type of conversations with us, because as an adult, I definitely feel like it made me so much more of a mature type of person than I am today, because there's other 25-year-olds that I meet and talk with, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Who raised you? Like, you know? And it also goes along with having confidence. I feel like, you know, we need to really start teaching people how to have more confidence within themselves. You know, with like the suicide rate being so high, I know we're in a pandemic, but it was even still higher than before because of social media, because of the unrealistic standards. And that's why with girls especially, I feel like women, we need to empower each other more. You know, if you have that younger cousin or sister or whatever, like anybody like 15 and under or shit, even any age, you got to start having those talks with these girls and be like, you know, you got to have confidence. You have to love yourself no matter how you look. You know, people are going to say this, people are going to say that, but you need to stay true to who you are and what you feel, and not allow anybody else's opinion to bring you down. Allow constructive criticism to make you better, but don't allow negative comments to bring you down and allow you to like become a depressed person because of what other people think. You really gotta bring yourself into that. You know, people's words don't mean shit. As long as I'm being a good person and doing the right thing, that's all that matters. However, if somebody's constructively criticizing me, I can take that and make myself into a better person. And I feel like in today's society, that is really lacking. I feel like it's just a lot of hardcore negative comments. So social media is fucking brutal. You can make a post and you're going to have like 100 people that could just cancel culture you, you know? Yeah. And it's sad to say that's a thing, but at the end of the day, like, we really, really need to be here for each other and show each other that shit does not matter. Like, what other people have to say about you don't matter. Like I said, as long as you're being a good person and doing the right things. If you're being a shitty fucking person and you're doing something wrong and people are criticizing you in that matter, then I get it. Because I'm the type of person, like, I'm very situational. Each situation is going to have a different type of perspective and outcome, whatnot. It's just the moral responsibility of it. Is this person doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Mm-hmm. And then you can go from there. But half the time, you know, on social media, people really aren't doing anything wrong. It's just you have that one troll that says something and then other people go off on it. And it's like, it's just sad, you know? And I just really, really wish that more guys and girls would, like, learn to love themselves wholly so that if somebody does come at them with a negative comment, they could just be like, you know what, fuck you, and not, like, go home and, like, cry and, like, become suicidal, because that's, like, the harsh reality of it. A lot of people really let it affect them negatively, and it's like we have to build a stronger generation of people and not just, like, allow ourselves to just get walked all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. I think at the end of the day, you have to validate yourself. And the thing with social media is it's not just young people. I see this in men in their 30s, 40s, yeah, whatever it may be. Everything is, like, about validation. I mean, you have everything from apps to social media. Like, we're just constantly online and someone's always looking for a reassurance on the other end. But one thing my mom's always taught me as a single mom is, like, at the end of the day, you have to validate yourself. You have to own who you are. And just like your parents said, no, none of these people are paying your bills.
Yeah.
So you better make sure you're self-sufficient and you do well for yourself. And exactly. You take care of yourself, because we can't rely for other people to be strong, because I feel like other people are also falling apart. Mm-hmm. So collectively, I think the reason why people are so judgmental right now is because they don't feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
So everything they're going to say, they're going to project onto
you. It's the insecurity aspect of it. Yeah, yeah. And that's why, like, I'm always, like, going out of my way to just, like, compliment random people. Because mm-hmm. you never really know how that random compliment could change somebody's day. I mean, you go online, there's tons of stories where, like, mm-hmm. somebody was actually about to kill themselves that day, and then somebody came up with a nice comment, and then they didn't do it. You never know how far that nice compliment really goes. And I feel like it definitely, in today's world, we need to be nicer to each other. You know, you need to hold that door open. You need to, you know, maybe, you know, when you're in line at McDonald's, buy the person behind you a meal, compliment somebody on their shoes or their glasses. I don't know. Just, like, whatever, you know, just do something nice. And I feel like it makes you feel better when you do something nice for somebody else and you're genuine about it.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
I want people to do it and not fucking post about it.
Yes. No. Yeah. True.
Like,
no,
I don't believe.
You have, like, if you're feeding a homeless person and shoving a camera in their face, that's degrading. Like, you don't, you're making that homeless person feel even worse about themselves, because you're like, here's money, here's food. I'm such a good person for doing this, and shoving a camera in their face, and they're just like, wow, I'm on camera right now, and, like, somebody's giving me food and I look ridiculous. Like, you got to do that in silence and know that that good karma is going to come back to you in the right way. I'm, like, a huge person, like, when it comes to, like, karma and whatnot. Like, I truly believe what you put out in the universe is going to come back to you for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Can I interest you guys on
yes, you can interest us, Josh.
A fact that I was actually pretty surprised about. So it seems like suicide is pretty bad in America right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're number 27 country-wise.
Oh, is Japan number one?
Lithuania is number one.
Really?
Russia is number two. Guyana, number three. South Korea, four. Belarus, five. Suriname? I don't know what that is. Kazakhstan, seven. Japan is number 14.
Wow.
Which I thought...
I thought Japan would be number one, but
South Korea is much higher.
See, and like the suicide stuff, I feel like kind of, we were being funny earlier with, like, talking about sex and whatnot, but I feel like it kind of, like, all correlates a little bit, because, like, a lot of the times, like, slut shaming is huge in America, and, you know, coming from the East Coast, I feel like in the Northeast, it's kind of one of those, besides New York, I feel like New York, it's definitely like one of those places that it's really open. But when you come like from Philadelphia or New Jersey, it's like one of those things, I feel like it's like hush hush if you're like into having threesomes or like when I have an open relationship, and people kind of talk shit on it and they're rude about it. And then you come to a place like Vegas and like, everybody's on OnlyFans or a dancer, and you like meet couples, and you're out at the club, and a couple is like, hey, do you want to come home with us and make OnlyFans content? Like, just the normalcy here.
Has it happened to you?
Oh my God, all the time. Are you kidding me? I just have people hit me up on my Instagram for it. They're just like, you want to make content? Because it's so normalized out here. It's not wrong. You know, it's like, it's normal to be sexual and make money off of it, because everybody out here, they're kind of in that grind type of mindset. Whereas like, I feel like the Northeast, they're a little bit more like, I don't know, I just
Puritan.
They're more what's the word I'm looking for? Conservative.
That's like, where the whole Puritan thing started, was the East Coast. So like it just transferred over, and I think it got kind of watered down as it came over and over.
I don't know. I just feel like personally, like the people I know and whatnot, because I mean, I could be saying this and then people from like Philly and Jersey are going to be listening and be like, oh, that's not true at all. Blah, blah, blah.
I was going to say, I have a different experience just in Vegas, and yeah. I've lived here for such a long time. Like I spent like, what, 20 years here?
Yeah.
So I've had those instances, but it wasn't like an all the time thing. So I think it also depends on the industry that you worked in.
Yeah.
Cause like,
well, I'm a bartender, so I meet all kinds of people. You know, yeah. You have working girls that come into the restaurant all the time, or you're just like out partying. And that's just like the culture out here. Whereas like you go to other places and it's not really as lenient and laid back. You talk about having an OnlyFans, and then somebody's be like, oh my God, you're on OnlyFans? You're a fucking whore. Like, and that's the reality of it for sure.
If anything, that's smarter than actually being a whore.
Yeah. Actually,
right? Because like you're doing it on camera.
You're not touching anyone.
But again, that all comes with maturity, how mature you are. If you're comfortable with putting yourself on the internet like that and you don't care and you have that money mindset, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But then there are other people that are conservative and would rather not have their body on the internet, and that's fine too. But I don't think one party or the other should be talking shit about it. Like, I don't think, because I feel like I see that too. I feel like I see like dancers and girls that have OnlyFans, they'll be like, oh, well, I'm making money. If you don't have that money mindset, like, you're dumb or whatever, this, that, and the third. But that's not necessarily true, where other people, they don't mind that you do that. They don't care. They would just rather not put themselves out there like that. But then there's also like, I feel like way more people that don't put themselves out there, and then they just slut shame the people that do. I feel like, you know, it's 2020. Grow the fuck up. Who cares what somebody else does with their body? Like, and I feel like a lot of the times it's the guys that are like slut shaming, because they're the ones that are like, oh, I want like a good woman. And I feel like more than half the time they only want a good woman because they're not smart enough to realize that guys are out there cheating and like walking all over them. And I really feel bad for the girls that I know that just are oblivious to it, because like, you know, I'm a real person. I know what it is. I grew up with guys, and you know, like I said, there are definitely guys that are out there that are fully respectful, don't cheat, this, that, and the third. But 97% of the male population are fucking doing their own thing and like being a man and like doing what they want. And then they're the type that are going to be the first to slut shame and then have a girl that they walk all over. But at the end of the day, still be jacking off to all the fucking hot chicks that they see on the internet. You know, it's just like,
so true. Oh. Sorry.
No, it's so true. It's just like, because guys want that, like, you know, they want that, like, standard in women or what the fuck ever. Like, it's not the 50s anymore. Women are sexual creatures. Get the fuck over it. You know, if the girl is being responsible and wearing condoms and isn't giving you an STD, then her past is none of your goddamn business.
Don't drop the mic. I thought, she had the pose, and she had made a really compelling
argument.
Well,
I just feel like I hear it all the time, because I have tattoos. So, like, I just feel like because I have tattoos and I'm really outgoing and I don't mind talking about, like, my sexual stance, they're just, like, automatic think like I'm a whore and I want to have sex with a different dude every single night, when that's not the case at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like a very reliable, trustworthy type of woman. I just prefer that if I'm in a relationship, the guy is down with the get down and we can hook up with girls. But I am not out there fucking looking every single night. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. First of all, I could care less about that. Like, if sex comes into my life, sex comes into my life. I am not out there like a dog in heat, like, oh my God, I need dick. Like, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Down with the get down. Why do I like that so much?
I know, it's great. I haven't it's heard like that. It's like a before. Song.
is that our episode title? Okay.
Get down.
I kind of like blue waffle, but down with the blue waffle. Okay, sorry, I combined them. I was wrong.
Down with the blue
okay,
waffle.
Okay,
so the reason why we keep talking about episode titles is because Josh is a little premature when it comes
okay,
to.
Okay, you have to say I'm premature? Jesus Christ.
Because Mary said it, and I loved how she said it. Because you're premature with the titles, but you got to record the episode to come up with a good title after.
That's the only thing I'm premature with, for the record. Okay, so.
We can't comment on that because we don't know.
So yeah,
because
yes,
we're not sluts.
Yeah, so
just a little dirty, but
just
but
wait,
see,
just wait
until
I get
nobody's
you in that shower.
Slut.
That's
nobody's
all I need
a
to
slut.
Do.
Whatever they're into, they're fucking into. As long as they're doing it appropriately, I feel like if we are gonna slut shame and call somebody a slut, it's somebody that is not wearing condoms and just running around and spreading STDs. That's how we're gonna label this. So
like an STD fairy.
Slut word, you know, like you should be responsible and make sure you're doing the right thing, and then that's okay, and nobody needs to know what you do. But I feel like, you know, sex is a responsibility to make sure that you are keeping it right and clean. And I feel like that's another thing in America that we don't like to talk about is getting tested. I feel like it's like this bad thing to have to go to the doctor and get tested. Like, it should be fucking normal. You should get your blood work done and get a pee test and get the throat and anal swab. If you get an
anal.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Like the butt. You never got the swab in your throat and your ass to make sure you're clean in all holes?
I hope they do the throat first. But, wait.
Josh,
no, seriously.
Josh, have you touched your anus lately?
Josh is like, I don't get penetration in my ass, so I'm not sure that I would get the swab back there. But if
I don't
you're
know
going
what you're talking about.
Doctor,
I would know nothing of the sort.
If you're going to the doctor, those are the things that you can get done. You can get your throat and your anal swab. You do the pee test, and you can get your blood work. I just feel like that is something that should 100% be done with every single person. There's nothing wrong with that. It should be normalized, because that way, if you are...
It's a shame thing. They look at it as shameful,
exactly.
And it's shameful.
If you're a promiscuous person, you need to do it. Even if you're not a promiscuous...
Even if you're not.
Yeah. Like, if you're the type of girl or guy that has sex maybe once or twice a year, and it's just like that random person that you ended up having fun with, and it just so happens you didn't use a condom... Definitely go get yourself checked. Even if you're like reconnecting with an old lover, get yourself checked. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with it at all. And you're preventing yourself from hurting somebody else if you were to contract something.
No, I absolutely 100% agree with this PSA. And like you said, it's not even about having a ton of sexual partners. It only takes one sexual partner to get something.
Exactly.
And you could be the cleanest person. You could be Virgin Mary, like, your entire life. And that one person can have something that could potentially change your life.
Like, you do get something and then you spread it to somebody else. And then here you are getting slut shamed again. And then you're not even really a person that's promiscuous. Yeah. It's just all about safety, for real.
No. I mean, you could be with one person. If they have it, you got it. You could just have been one person.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just wish it was, like, more of a normal thing to not care about, like, somebody's sexual past if it's, like, not affecting you in any way. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that's another reason why people get, like, so depressed, because they have that one person that's like, oh, my God, you slept with that many people? Like, da-da-da-da.
Have they asked that to you? Has any exes?
I mean, I feel like that's like a normal, like, is that like not a normal thing? Like when you guys are dating, people don't just assume how many people you've hooked up with?
I've asked my exes, yeah.
I don't even know my number.
I feel like it's like a question.
Do you both know your number?
No, yeah. I don't keep track.
I truly don't know mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
It's like between 1 to 2 million. Okay, no. All seriousness, and also, I don't know the number. I kind of feel bad. See, I kind of feel bad saying that, though.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, who cares? Like, if somebody
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because if somebody really cares about the number that you of people that you had sex with, and you're not like putting them at risk for anything, like it's their own insecurity that they're projecting out on you, that they're trying to make you feel dirty or something. Like, who fucking cares? Like, I just feel like I only ask out of curiosity. Like, I don't really care. But people,
is there a number is there a number that would be like you'd be like, whoa?
I mean, if I'm if somebody's 25 and they said they had sex with like 500 people, I mean, that is a little bit of an alarming thing. But because like,
but you're not going to shame them for it. And that's the point, right? People would hear that. Other people,
but I'm going to ask them if maybe they need sex therapy.
Like a sex addict? Do you think sex addict's a thing?
Sex addicts are definitely a thing, of course. It's just like if you get addicted to drugs or alcohol,
Because
there's a trauma that stems from it, though.
But that's
if you're addicted
thing.
To sex like that, there's definitely a trauma that stems from it, and you need help. Like, you need to get to the source of why you're having sex like that, because it's not because you're in love or it feels good. It's kind of just like a thing that like happens to you, like alcohol. Like, you need the alcohol to quote unquote like survive type
just
of thing.
Like, there's love addicts. I mean, there's like people who are in love with the thought of being in love, and they consistently like move from one person to the next. Like, I'm sure both of you have had people like on your social media, and you see them with a different partner every couple months.
It perplexes me. They're never single.
He's the one. Oh my god. Yeah, this is it, guys. I found the one.
Can you keep talking like that?
No, I definitely know like a ton of people that are
they're
like
never
that.
Single.
There's definitely girls and guys that are like that, but that could also be like an issue that stems from like they have a problem being alone. But I'm so glad that you brought that up, though, because I used to be the type of person where I would hook up with somebody, and then you both know exactly what I'm about to say. That like you get with somebody, and then you create this imaginary life and future with them.
Like a fantasy.
Right?
I hate to admit this.
And
so
then, exactly. And then that, I feel like that's kind of what fucks you up in the end, because when it doesn't work out with that person, all of that fake imagery that you created
our image, our fantasy is utopic. And that's not how life is. Yeah. So,
and as I got older, I kind of learned to stop thinking about people like that. I turned it off. I realize that I have to enjoy the moment with the person.
Take it slow.
And enjoy each moment with them. And if there's more and more enjoyable moments, then that's creating like our relationship, you know? Whereas like it's not hanging out with a person a couple of times and then just like imagining this life with them. It's also another way, as like what I talked about earlier, of not allowing myself to get hurt. Whereas, like, if I don't think about a future like that with said person, I'm not going to get hurt if it doesn't work out, because I didn't create that stupid imaginary life with them. That's why I've really come to terms that I'm just, like, a realist type of person. And then it also kind of made it more enjoyable for me, because I kind of turned down that side. And then, you know, I put my phone away, and then I'm focusing on my time with that person, and it kind of creates more of a genuine relationship. Whereas before, I used to like people like right away, like just like I wear my heart on my sleeve. I love everybody, like even my friends. Like tonight I'm gonna tell you I love you all the time. We just met tonight. I'm gonna be like, oh my god, I love you. Like, great talk. This, that, and the third. That's just how I am. I fall in love with people so easily, friends or in relationships. And on the relationship aspect of it, I've learned to just kind of slow that down. You don't necessarily need to jump right into it. Like, you need to learn to get to know that person, not think about that future stuff, not be on your phone, enjoy that time. And ever since I started doing that with people, I've actually created better genuine relationships. And it's kind of like, you know, most of the people I have hooked up with, I'm friends with them. Mm-hmm. And it never ended on like weird terms, because, you know, we had that great relationship for the times that we hung out. And then as time went on and it faded out, it wasn't dramatic, because I appreciated what that person had to offer to me at that time. And then, you know, it kind of just grew out of the relationship, and I still love that person as a friend, because instead of creating that imaginary life with them, I got to know them for who they actually were.
I love that. It's a really healthy approach. And honestly, like what I'm seeing with the pandemic now mm-hmm. is there were all these people in these relationships, but I feel like they had kind of like that fantasy that we were talking about built up in their head. Mm-hmm. When you're traveling, when you're going out to eat, it's unrealistic
expectations.
When you're always having fun, you're always in this beautiful environment and you're just creating this beautiful like illusion. You quote unquote think that you're in love because every day is like, wow, look at me. I'm here. I'm there, I'm everywhere, whatever, with this person. But then when all that is taken away, like how it mm-hmm. was during the pandemic and yeah. during a lockdown, you're like, wow, okay, well, do I really love this person? Because how are you with that person when you're in a shitty situation?
Behind closed doors, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If you have to just sit in a padded room, are you still good? Or are you only in love with that person when you're traveling and having fun and doing the most right. with them?
A padded right. room.
Whatever, you know, I don't know what people's
man, they went straight to the asylum. Okay, okay, jeez.
Some people are crazy in relationships. You got to put them in a pattern.
We call that a Freudian slip in my old field.
I feel like I've seen a meme like that before. It was like me when I was 18. Oh, what are your interests? Blah, blah, blah. What do you do? And then it's like me at 25. What childhood traumas have you had? And yeah. what have you done to work on them to not project your shit onto me?
Oh, my name's Frankie, by the way.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I love that because it's like, no, get to the good part. You yeah. know, when I'm first starting to get to know a person, it's like, let's skip the small talk. I don't need to know what your fucking favorite color is.
Yeah.
Like, give me your traumas. Give me all your bullshit. Give yeah. me your dirt. Like, right. let's just fucking let it all
kinda,
out on the table.
It kind of gets you to understand the person a little bit better and the reason why they do certain things mm-hmm. and again, like we've been talking about this whole situation, I just wish more people would be open and have these types of conversations, because I feel like just our general relationships with people would just be so much better, whether it's like mm-hmm. a friend or a relationship, because you're putting all cards out onto the table and there's nothing to hide. And you know, you have those dirty little secrets that you keep, but for the most part, it is better to just be upfront and honest about how you feel, what you're expecting, this, that, and a third, to just make things easier for yourself and that other person. Because I feel like if you just get down to the nitty-gritty shit right away, it kind of gets you over that hump of something that might happen in the future, because you're like not talking about it, and then something happens, and then you're aggravated about it. And then you're kind of being, what were we saying earlier? Condescending? Was that?
Sorry, the wine just hit, so I'm.
But it was like what is it? Like that, like, condescending type of relationship? I can't remember, like, exactly what we said earlier, but if it's just like where you're with somebody and something they do bothers you, but then you're just like, when they say something wrong and you're just like, I'm fine. But in reality,
passive aggressive.
But is condescending like kind
she
of the
stood
same?
Up.
Well, man, she got up. Yeah, she got aggressive, aggressive.
She got aggressive.
I got nervous in my own room.
I was like, but it's like condescending is kind of, no, I feel like condescending is more like, I don't know, what am I trying to say?
Passive aggressiveness is condescending, in my opinion. I hate that
it's
shit.
It's like almost the same thing, right?
I hate it.
Yeah.
I think you possibly feel that way, like, just because you're from the East Coast, and I feel the same way, like, yeah. being Eastern European, like, we lay everything out on the table. One thing that I've noticed, that my mom's noticed, my, like, anyone else who's, like, European, like, that we notice about Americans in particular, the ones living on the West Coast, is everyone kind of beats around the bush. Like, they
yes,
don't want
West Coast
hurt
people
your feelings.
Do beat around the bush. They yeah. really, really do. I hate to say
bush
it, but
beaters.
Do.
Don't look at me and yell bush beater. Okay?
No,
you and your blue waffle over there.
Don't talk about my blue
no,
waffle.
No, I feel like European people, though, and like East Coast people, like, they are the type of people, like, if I don't like you, you're going to fucking know yeah. that I don't like you. Whereas, so, like, West Coast people, they just don't say it.
You'll love
but
this.
But they'll be, like, passive-aggressive. Like, they'll act like they're
Frankie.
Your friend, but, like, be annoyed by you, and you can tell that they're annoyed, and you're like, can you please just explain to me what the problem is?
So, yeah. I have one memory of Philadelphia, because I only went – I flew back from Thailand to there, then flying for Philadelphia here.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So, this is my only experience about Philadelphia. I didn't even leave the airport. But it was so great because I realized what an East Coaster is, right?
Yeah.
I'm on the plane and it's a
go Birds!
Plane. It's a cramped plane, right?
Uh-huh.
So there's one guy on the plane listening to his phone without headphones, right? Which is, we all know that's the most annoying thing. We all want to say something, but
it's like a crying baby on the plane.
This one guy, and you could, I even heard his Philly accent. He's like, bro, turn it down or turn it off. No one wants to hear your shit. And he just, and no one reacted bad. And I was like, this is fucking brilliant. Like, this is so great. And being a West, you know, I born in Orange County, grew up in Las Vegas, West.
Yeah.
They don't talk like that here. And I have no problem with it. I personally have no problem
with it. Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of the West Coast people that I've met, I am definitely a lot for them to take like, in.
Imagine that happened. That conversation happened at LAX. If that conversation happened at LAX, there's like an argument, right? Mm-hmm. On an LAX flight.
Well, LAX, they would just be.
Like, no one even batted an eye, which I was observing the people, because they're all...
They would just, like, right? Completely ignore it and then just be texting somebody,
this, yeah, this
like,
is like a Thursday
somebody
flight.
On this plane, so yeah. Fucking annoying.
It was like a Thursday flight, Philly to Vegas, so those people were Philadelphia coming to Vegas, right? And this one guy just says that, and no one bats an eye, and I'm just there like, oh, man, this is brilliant.
Well, while we're talking shit on West Coast people, living in Vegas, it's definitely so funny because like going to parties in Philly and South Jersey, we have fun. Like it's like there's pong going, there's flip cup going, girls are getting ratchet, like nobody cares.
We do that
whatever.
Here.
No. So like there's like listen.
No.
There's like Las Vegas club style ratchet because everybody comes out here to sign up for the wheelchair special.
I'm talking about house parties.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to get into. Because you were just like, oh, it's Vegas. Like, da, da, da. Yes. When you're in the nightclubs out here, like, people are coming out here for the motherfucking wheelchair special. And if you guys are listening and you don't know what the wheelchair special is, people purposely come to Vegas to get so fucked up that they had to be taken out of the club in a wheelchair.
And that's the title.
Wheelchair stuff. Yes.
I got carried out, not wheelchair.
Oh, I've been carried out a couple of times.
Did you get wheelchaired?
No, not wheelchair.
You never got the wheelchair special?
Just carried out. But no, I don't let myself get that fucked up because I am a business professional. But anyway, as far as like the mansion parties go
in Vegas.
She said
she's a professional.
as far as mansion parties go in Vegas, the mansion parties that I've been to out here, there has not been a single girl freaking playing pong or girl or guy, actually. Like, it's very rare to see pong going, which
God,
I think is just pretty standard for a house party.
I wish Vince was here right now.
Along with flip cup.
I have a lot to say about it, too.
Okay.
You've yes, been... see? There's no pong. There's no flip cup. There's no girls twerking. It's just all these freaking hot girls that are just, like, taking selfies of them at the party. Like,
I know what you mean. They're very put together.
The party. Like,
I know what you mean. They're very well groomed. They're very put together, even if they're completely fucked up. So I think you're, like, what you're trying to say, if I were to translate it,
yeah,
is, like, people on the East Coast, like, where you're from, just give zero fucks. They're to have fun. The people on the West Coast are more pretentious.
It's all about
and
their
it's about the looks,
content.
About the content,
yeah.
Like looking very put together and trying to look good.
Yeah, I've been at a couple parties out here, and I definitely like have gotten looks, and I don't care at all. But I'm like literally wasted at this point, and I'm just starting to yell at these random girls I don't even fucking know. And I'm like, we're at a party, let's have fun. Like, somebody play flip cup with me, and like everybody's just looking at me, and I'm like, fuck you! Everybody's just staring. Like, I'm trying to start the party. Like, let's go.
I know exactly what you mean, and I had like a very tiny club phase in Vegas before
like,
I got over
it. Clubbing's one thing and house parties are another thing, but like have fun at a fucking house party like you would at a club.
Absolutely. But the thing is, when I would go to the club, I would get sweaty, like I would get gross. I would like fucking dance my balls off.
Yes.
Like my balls would be on the ground bragging.
Oh,
I would
that's
be,
what it's all about.
I would
suddenly blue waffles not so,
so
bad.
Yeah. And I was like, wait, why are all these bitches like looking?
No,
so
but
far?
Even no, honestly,
I would walk
even
in the
still
club
in the
perfect.
Club, you still have those girls in the club that are just specifically there to post about their bottle service, and it's
they
like
would stand
bottle
off
rats,
the side.
We're calling
bottle
rats,
rats.
Bottle
yes,
rats.
But it's like, bitch, who fucking cares?
They,
like,
they
I get VIP all the time, and I still go into general admission. Yeah. Like, I like being in the middle of the dance floor and like sweating my balls off. off, yes, and like enjoying my time.
Me, you know, too. I was like, you have a, you're here to see this DJ that's, yes, like,
and again, that somewhere goes back to confidence. And no one cares what you look like if you're sweaty and, yeah, your makeup's running. It's the end of the night. Everybody's shitty. Three of your friends have probably already thrown up by now.
Yeah.
It's like, have fun. Let loose. Like it's literally fucking Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, okay, can I ask a question?
Walk out like a raccoon or you didn't have fun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fuck your fucking Instagram post. I say, yes, fuck a lot. I'm so sorry.
No.
My mother's going
to
hear this.
Our title of our podcast is Easy to Swallow. Yeah, do you think you're talking?
My mother's going to hear this. She's going to be like, oh my Jesus Christmas, this is not how I raised my daughter. Meanwhile, I come from an Italian family and behind closed doors, fuck is every other, yeah, word.
Yeah.
Where does this come from then? What? What's the difference? How? What? I don't understand what the difference. I never lived in the East Coast. I've only been West Coast, right? So explain to me. You came from Europe, mm-hmm, but you did grow up here. So
it doesn't matter though. Our values and our principles are so different. So like when, yeah, you go to a European party, it is full blown. We're gonna drink all night. We're gonna eat all night.
I thought you said for a blow for a second.
I watched you. I watched UK Skins, so I kind of have,
okay,
an idea.
So have you noticed the difference in LA?
LA versus what? What are we comparing it to?
Vegas. Let's say Vegas to LA. Let's take it gradual.
I mean, but it's such a mix. So it's like the same type of people. They just go back and forth, especially when it comes to the mansion parties. And if like you're like DJ booth VIP, it's like the same fucking girls every time. And I feel like that's wherever you go. Like you have your same girls in New York. You have your same girls in Philly. You have your same girls in Miami. Like if you have like that same set of people, it's the same set of people. But at the end of the day, it's just more about having fun and not like.
Where were you born?
I was born in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
And you lived there for how long?
Like my whole life. So it's like, because like when you live in New Jersey, you grow up in Philly as well. Because like I have family members in Philly. But then like you're also partying in Philly because Atlantic City is like a shitty version of Vegas. And it's 24 hours and it's 21 and up. But Philadelphia, you could go to their clubs at 18. So it's not hard for a 15-year-old to have an 18-year-old ID to go out. And then when you're 18, it bumps up to the 21-year-old ID. Because I've been, like, going to underground raves and, like, eating Molly since I was, like, 15 years old. Being in parts of Philly that are so fucking dangerous that I'm, like, looking back now that I'm older, I'm, like, I'm so lucky that I did not die or get hurt or whatever. Like, just blessed. Because when you're young like that, you don't give a fuck. Like, that's the thing. You're just looking for the party. You're looking to have a good time. And I just feel like people aren't really caring about like what they're posting as opposed to just like how shitty they're getting. Whereas like out here, it's just like all about like that perfect look the whole night. You know, yeah, it's just so, like,
Mary,
weird to me.
Calling back in another episode, mm-hmm, without me saying what I'm about to say. Is she the girl for that job? What episode am I talking about?
Is she the girl for that job?
Shroominator.
Oh, I mean, you said yes.
I think she should be my Shroominator.
I think so, too.
What's a Shroominator?
Well, maybe if you listen to other episodes, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's a moderator to basically moderate Josh's first shroom experience.
Because we talked about this.
Oh, my God. I would love to walk you
through
that.
She won't do it, though. She won't do it.
No.
Yeah, no.
Why? Are you scared?
You gotta listen to that episode.
Okay, I'll listen to that episode.
But no, but basically.
Would you do it too? Or is it just, we would do it together, right?
So, all right. So when it comes to mushrooms, I am like a total like outdoorsy, active type of person. And I love eating mushrooms and going on hikes, like going to Zion National Park or whatever type of hike. Because when you're out in nature and you're doing mushrooms and you're just experiencing something so beautiful, I feel like it's more of like a spiritual experience. And you understand something about nature and yourself. Whereas like if you're just like doing it in your house or like going to a party, then it's that type of like party type of shroom experience. And I don't really like to do shrooms to like trip out hard. It's more of just to like have a good time. Because if you eat an eighth of shrooms, that's like when you're like really gonna trip out hard and you're seeing
so
whereas like just two mushrooms, you kind of get like slight visualizations and it's more like energy that you're seeing. Whereas, like, if it's like an eighth, you're like really tripping out. But it's all of what you're comfortable with. But when you're out in nature and you do it, me personally, I just think it's better. Or if you're like at a camping music festival and you're just like, there's no trace of time, there's music everywhere.
What's a music festival?
Oh my God, like a camping music festival.
No. I just saw a picture.
There's no more music. No,
it's
festivals.
So funny.
I know, right?
I just saw
it's
a picture.
Like, fuck, R.I.P.
I saw this picture that was filtered to look like it was from 1920. It was like people in a restaurant, 2019.
Hashtag never forget.
So, okay, so let's talk about this. This was on a previous episode, so you have some homework to go back and... Was this Tainted Love? Is that was the episode, right?
Yes.
Because we talked about... asshole tanning people are doing?
Yes.
So, do you know about that? Have you heard about that?
Yes.
Did you do it? You fucking did
it. No, I don't fucking asshole tan. I know people that like bleach their assholes.
No, but like people are going out to the desert and just doing this naked. And
asshole tanning?
It's so the sun hits
you. I literally tan in a tanning bed. And I will admit that like if you're the type of person that tans a lot, and anybody that tans will know what I'm saying right now.
Oh, that got seductive.
Like if you're laying down, like you lay down, but like you'll get like this little U on like the top of your ass crack. So every once in a while, you will have to go in the stand up and kind of like do the stand up and like lean a little bit forward to even out that tan on your
ass
crack.
I love this demonstration.
There's a stand up tan.
Everybody could see. Huh?
There's a stand up tan?
Yeah.
You just stand in the room and
it's so terrifying. I did it one time. It feels like you're in a gas chamber. You're in this tiny enclosed little space and it just sprays you all over.
Oh, someone had to go. We're gonna call you out. You think you're just gonna run away and go pee in my bathroom? Yeah, if you guys heard that, that's her laughing from my bathroom. She didn't even close the fucking door. Fucking maniac. Okay, so I'll bring the mic over there.
Yeah,
don't test me.
So we can hear, so the audience can hear your stream.
Here, wait. Okay, that's just me. That's not actually her peeing. We're not that bad. So, okay, I think she should be the Shroominator.
I mean, I feel like it's been decided.
Is this a term that's caught on? I don't think it's caught on yet.
Oh, it's about to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You might be the first Shroominator, Frankie.
Yeah?
Yeah. Frankie, you better flush that toilet, girl.
Wipe good.
So, sadly, not the first time I heard her go pee this week. So, anyways, Mary.
Wow. Yes. Very great.
Like, see, if we were in a real studio and not your bedroom, I could have totally peed in another room and nobody would have ever known. But
this is a real studio.
I don't know what you're talking about. But honestly, it's better when you don't. It's beautiful. It's raw. It's unreal.
Is this not more relaxing being in a room just chilling?
No, it is. This is great.
As I'm pumping marijuana through my vents just to make you guys happy, you see? So, okay.
So here's
the thing. You're going to be the Shroominator, but I have a question for you. Give me your honest opinion.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've never done any drugs at all.
Yeah.
I've smoked weed 5 times in my life, minus Columbia 3 weeks ago, but that's another story. So is it wise for me to go straight to LSD, or should I work my way up to it, or just do shrooms?
Okay. So, I mean, when it comes to psychedelics... pretty much like when you're doing like LSD or acid, it's just like a longer trip.
It's like 8 hours, right?
I've tripped on acid for like up to 10 hours sometimes.
Fuck, that's so scary. Like
work day.
Yeah. So like, I mean, for me personally, I like shrooms better because I try to be healthy. I'm active. And I just feel like if you know me, you know, like if I drink, I drink. But for the most part, I'm not really the one drinking. I'd rather just smoke weed and go out because I just have high energy and I can have a good time. So I like
your high energy.
Shut up. So like I like mushrooms because it's natural. It comes from the earth. And the trip is only like 4 to 5 hours. And I feel like I have a little bit more control over it rather than when I have an acid trip. I feel like the visuals are just like much more intense. It's long, you know, it's just like a whole thing. Whereas like mushrooms, like, you know, I always like to say you can always go up, but you can never go back. So if you're taking a full tab of acid, depending on that type of acid, you're not necessarily going to understand how strong it's going to hit you until it happens. Whereas like with mushrooms, you can start off with just like one mushy and then go two mushy and then go three mushy.
Mushy. That and sounds like, cute now.
I love know? It. That's how I say. I say mushy.
Drugs
mushy.
Are precious.
So that's like that you can
dare
kind of
failed
gauge.
Sex ed and dare would not work apparently after this podcast.
You can like gauge your trip and just make sure you're comfortable and safe, because I feel like, you know, with sex, when you're doing drugs, it's all about safety. I'm one of those people. I just feel like, you know, you got to make sure you're in the right environment, you're with the right people, and you're doing the dosage that's comfortable for you. Never allow somebody to peer pressure you to do something that you're uncomfortable with.
So if it was just me, you, and Mary that did this, you're the Shroominator.
Yeah.
And she's not doing it. Would that not be good for her?
I mean, if she's not doing it, it's not like going to affect her like physically, but she'll probably be down mentally because we're having such a good time.
Mary.
Oh, are you saying I can't have a good time without drugs?
You're not from the East
Coast.
You can
have a good time without drugs, but if we're Shrooming, you're going to wish that you were on our level.
I disagree, though, because I've been around people who have been shrooming in said mansions, and I was the only one not doing drugs, and I still had a better time.
Okay.
Okay, because it's kind of like being at a zoo, especially when a lot of people are doing it. So it's like I'm the observer, and I'm like, wow, this is interesting sightings. Like, I feel like, what was his name, Steve Irwin or whatever?
You mean the guy that got killed by the manta ray?
You know, I just feel like I have to like get into like an accent mode.
Can you
and,
say
like,
crikey?
Narrate. I'm so bad at doing
that. Do Australian. You
I'm
both
so bad.
Do Australian.
I'm
crocky, mate.
Oh, God.
I feel like I'd be awful at it. I've actually
just do Australian. Right, do Australian.
Crikey, mate.
Why did you deepen your voice?
I want to be a man.
Crikey.
Crikey, mate.
I'm dying.
Oh, wait, crikey, look at the size of that tarantula. Okay, now I sound like a southern surfer.
Yeah, I don't know,
like a southern California.
You're like fucking turning into
I'm
Joe
so,
Exotic right
I'm
now.
So bad
I feel like I
at
would
accents.
Be like narrating it, and I could like record your experience and narrate like,
okay.
as an observer.
So what is the reason that you don't feel like you ever want to do mushrooms?
So honestly, I'm big, like okay, this is going to sound narcissistic, but I mean it in like from a confidence perspective. I fucking love my brain. I love everything about it. And so for me to do anything that's like a psychedelic, that's mind altering and changes your perception and how you see things, I don't want that. Because I hear like everyone has different experiences on it. And some people are like, wow, after I did this, like I have friends who've done ayahuasca, friends who've done, you know, shrooms and whatever. And like, sometimes if they do these experiences, it alters their brain. But usually a lot of times, like my friends that do it to kind of alter their mind and the way it works, and they usually need to get rid of something or some type of trauma or whatever it may be to kind of like let loose. I never felt like I needed that substitute.
Yeah.
So for me, doing it would be more of a risk because I am so happy and at peace with my mind and how I think right now, that if I were to experience something that could be potentially negative on a trip, I wouldn't want that. And that would freak me out.
But I feel like, you know, if you just take one or two, it's not going to necessarily, like I was saying earlier, it's not going to necessarily give you that like super like fucked up type of trip. I feel like, have you ever smoked weed or okay, have you ever eaten edibles?
Yes.
Okay, so you know like when you eat edibles, like you're just laughing so hard. I feel like if you just eat one or two mushrooms, it's almost like when you get high off of edibles, but like better, because it makes you so like bubbly and giggly, and everything is like the funniest fucking thing ever. And like I said, it's not making you trip out heavily. It's kind of just more of like lighter vibrations and like energy. And like if you're like watching a cartoon, it might get a little weird, but it's not necessarily like you're like, oh my God, I see a pink fucking elephant and it's not really there type of thing.
No, you're talking about how movies dramatize
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like I've definitely been on acid trips where, like, pink elephants were real. But, like, acid is so mind-altering, like you said. Mm. It wouldn't necessarily be, like, if you ate one or two mushrooms. And because it's more natural, it's not, like, going to affect you. Because I feel like I've definitely heard people say, like, oh, acid eats your brain. That's not necessarily true. It's not negative for your brain at all. It kind of just opens more receptors than you're normally used to using. It produces them like 10 times faster.
And that's exactly what I told her, though, because I agree with what you said.
But I understand. Like, if you don't want to do an acid trip, it is definitely intense. It is definitely intense. And if you're not comfortable with that, that's fine. But I would recommend that you should try to eat like one or two mushrooms if you've eaten edibles before, because it's not completely off.
She sounds like a shroominator.
She does. But I love mushrooms and weed.
Like, I love mushrooms and weed. I really do. Like, I'd rather choose something that's natural rather than alcohol. Or like I hate cocaine anymore. Like, it used to be, you know, a party drug. I just hate the way it makes me feel. Like, I want to fucking die the next day. And it's like, it's only fun while you're in it. And then also with acid, like, it's just too long, and like, I don't like tripping for that long. And then yes, I like love like ecstasy, but only here and there. And that's because, like, if I just take a little bit, it makes you feel good. But if you take too much, it's like the same thing as taking like coke. Like, then you just feel like shit the next day. And I'm one of those people that I just hate feeling like trash the next day. Like, I just can't handle it. It makes me feel so bad. And then I just get like bad thoughts. I would like to stick with like smoking weed and doing mushrooms, to whereas like after I'm done, it's done and I don't feel like garbage.
Mm-hmm. So I totally hear you. Like, the only drug that I've done is weed. Mm-hmm. But I remember like how you were going back to what you were saying. You were basically saying like, it's like taking an edible but amplified.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with me.
Yeah.
The last time I took an edible, it was half an edible. My mom was actually there for it.
Yeah.
And she got freaked out because she was like, you're laughing so hard. Like I was so intense. Like, you don't understand how my brain works, because, I mean, obviously we just met. I'm the only person that truly understands how my brain works.
Is
right?
you, because it's your
me.
Brain.
It's my brain. And so I'm very animated. I feel like I have too many receptors going off in my brain at any point. It's like, to me, I'm kind of terrified to do anything else.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where my brain's going to go. If I open any more receptors, I would be a little bit scared of where those.
Well, you and Josh should just it should just be the three of us, and like, I guarantee you'll have a good time, and you might have like a different viewpoint on it, because I'm not like the type of person that would like pressure you to do what you're not comfortable with. But then like, I just feel like us three, it's just like such a good group that we really would have a good time, and you wouldn't even be thinking about that at all. Like, you would just like have a good
time. I want to be comfortable with who I'm with. That's why I don't want to be a big group.
Anybody listening out there, it is definitely 100% important to know who you are with, because you could have that type of person that you're with that when it comes to tripping, they're the type of person that brings that negative energy, and that slight negative energy could put you in such a bad mindset and bad trip, and you need to stay away from bad juju like that.
So I don't have a negative energy, but I'm so curious about this, but I wonder if that curious would take me towards like a worry path, not a negative one.
All right, so I'm going to tell you something. I used to train Muay Thai, and I had this trainer, Alan. And he is the type of person. Yeah. He is the type of person that, like, before I used to complain, like, oh, I don't want to train if I smoke, because he would like want to smoke weed or whatever. And I would just like, no, like, it makes me tired. It makes me not focus. Like, this, that, and the third. And he literally like smacked himself in the head and was like, it's all a mindset. Get over it. And ever since then, it 100% changed my perspective. And it really, truly is a mindset. Because, you know, if you're fucked up on marijuana, edibles, shrooms, it's something more that you can kind of control. So if you feel like your headspace is going towards that route, you can kind of gather yourself and be like, oh, no. I need to put myself back on this path of thinking. Whereas maybe other, like, you know, alcohol, that's a downer. If you get into that type of mindset, it's hard to get out of that because you're influenced by alcohol. Or like, I feel like even Molly or acid, if you get into that bad mindset, it's really hard to get yourself out of it. But at the end of the day, like, it really is a mindset, and you have to get a grip and get control of yourself. And that's why, like, dosing small to begin with is very, very important. I can't say this enough. You can always go up. You can never go back. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's why people will have bad experiences and have bad things to say because, you know, they just didn't know any better and they didn't do it properly. Whereas, like, if you're in the right environment and you're controlling it, I guarantee you will have a really good time. And again, what we've been talking about this whole time is maturity and confidence, and that comes when you're doing things like that.
Hmm. Interesting. Can't wait for you to do shrooms with us, Mary. So, anyways.
I will be eating shrooms out of a can from the grocery store.
But that's a legit shroomerator right there.
That is a legit shroomerator.
Like, I mean, we made up that term. We made up that term, by the way. And I feel like that's what the... We didn't even have to explain if she was there. She would have just done that.
She was. She's a natural.
And look how she's sitting now. Like, she's a boss. Yeah. Like, she just knows that she just shroominator the shit out of us.
Yeah.
And we made up the term shroominator.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I am just, like, a loving, caring person. I always go into mom mode. So, like, I'm always here to just make sure that my friends are having a good time no matter what. You know, you don't leave your friends behind if they're going through a bad situation.
What a good person you are, Frankie.
What great employees I hire at my venue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, don't mention it. Don't mention it.
We've been promoting Tao the whole time and not where we
actually
were.
We can't talk about it.
I won't.
So the viewers know. Nothing. Viewers, listeners. What am I viewers.
Listeners.
Yeah. See you on NBC.
I know. So, now we're like promoting Tao so much, though.
Yeah. So, so they both know that me and Mary work in events.
Yeah.
We don't say where.
Yeah, we don't say where.
Yeah.
They know that you moved from here to LA and work for a prominent LA events company. They know I work at an events venue in Las Vegas. That's pretty much all they really know.
Yeah, I mean, you work at the same events venue. Uh-huh. But as far as my personal company that I have, AI Cat Studio.
Oh, there you go. Promote the shit out of it. Promote it.
Me and my girlfriend, you know, she owns the company and I came aboard to help her out. We have our own production company. So we create our own custom costumes and we have fire performers, go-go dancers, aerialists, midgets, stilt walkers.
Everything you need for shrooms.
Everything you need
personally,
for shrooms.
I love that she went from aerialists to midgets. That's just all I'm going to say.
Yeah. And, you know, I have a really good security team that would work for the event. And I also have celebrity chefs on board. So as soon as frickin' Rona is over and we get back to normal life, I just can't wait for us to get back into the groove of things.
This was a great episode. And I know I've said that before.
You're like me in third grade when I had a fucking speech impediment.
Did you?
Because I would stutter all the time.
You were a stutter? How'd you get rid of it?
Yeah, no.
Wait, let's keep this going.
It wasn't third grade. It was first grade, actually. First grade, I had to do the extra class for speech therapy because I would stutter a lot.
Is it a mental thing or is it physical?
I don't know. I was like fucking 6 years old, man.
But how did they treat it?
Oh, well, it was just like they would have us, like, read things and do, like, activities on the computer and, like, stuff with, like, blocks or whatnot. But I just think me personally, even since I was a kid, I am so ADD and, like, go, 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 that the reason why I still stutter sometimes to this day. But it's just because my mind is going so quickly that my mouth can't keep up. And I'm one of those people that, like, I smoke weed and it calms me down, but it never puts me to sleep because I am just literally so high energy that, like, smoking weed helps me. If I go like a week or two without smoking, like even when I was home earlier in March for the pandemic, my mom was getting annoyed with me because when I'm sober and I'm just fully clear minded, I just have so many thoughts going through my head and I'm just like, and like I the weed really truly does calm me down, like, for sure, facts. And my mom was even saying, like, you don't know anybody that you can get weed from right now, you're really annoying. Because like when you're so used to buying it at a store and then you go back to like New Jersey where it's not legal, well, now it is, but we just got to wait for it to get put into motion, that, like, you know, you don't really have access to it. I feel like a bunch of my friends like moved away or whatever, so then I was just like sitting there sober and just like being extra annoying because I'm like But yeah, I mean, I'm just one of those people. I can smoke weed all day long and I can go to the gym. I can go to work. Like, I can do this. It really doesn't like affect me, and especially because what we were talking about earlier with my coach, it's all a mindset, you know, like just change my perspective on it. And yeah, I mean, I could sit there and just like smoke and smoke and smoke and everybody else will fall asleep and I'll still be awake. Like, it takes a lot for me to like go out. Like, I have to like really clear my mind. Like, literally melatonin and sleepy time tea are my best friend.
So, Frankie, if you want to, we're going to tag you and stuff and everything. Do you want to mention anything about?
Yeah, like, what do you want to promote? Do you want to promote your business that you were talking
about? Blue Waffles.
Well, I definitely want to promote AI Cats. If you guys, you know, we actually have connections all around the country. So, for the most part, we'll try to get it done if we can. But our hot spots are definitely LA, Vegas, New York, Philly, Florida, New Jersey. Those are definitely the spots where we can 100% get things done.
Where can they look it up? Like, what's the Instagram?
Yeah, AI Cats.
AI? So it's like AI, artificial intelligence?
Yes, artificial intelligent cats. So it would just be AI Cats Studio.
Okay.
And then as far as anything else I want to promote, I kind of just want to promote, you know, my friend Shawnee Styles that I work with. He is a part of Manboy Mafia. That's his own creation that he created. And his brand is all about suicide awareness. So if anybody follows me on Instagram, which be Infamous Frankie on Instagram, you'll see that I promote a lot about suicide awareness and You Matter. That's like our whole thing with Manboy Mafia. And I just really think Shawnee's a great person out here in Las Vegas and just helps a lot of people and promotes suicide awareness. So I'm like really proud to be a part of his vision. And then also, yeah, like I just want to promote Easy to Swallow. Like, I love you guys. And I think this podcast was great. And I feel like we have a lot more topics that we could touch base on. And I just like really hope that like we can grow and expand this, because I feel like we have a lot of good things to talk about.
Thank you so much, Frankie. Yeah, you're awesome. Welcome. You're amazing. Thank you. It's like you might have annoyed your mom, but you didn't annoy us because you're perfect for a podcast.
I know. If my mom listens to this, she's going to be like, I can't believe she talked about everything that she talked about publicly. But, you know, like, I am just an open book and there is absolutely no shame in my game. And I just really hope that other people can take from that and we can all become better people and better versions of ourselves.
Yep. Amen. Nope. You'll be back. Okay, we barely scratched the waffle. So,
and with that.
Yep. So, everyone, thanks for listening again. I hope you enjoyed. Mary, you got anything to say?
No, I think we've said all the things we need to say.
Yeah, we'll finally end it on you guys. Sorry for dragging it through as you're listening to this on your way to work.
The 15th final ending.
But speaking of what, no, okay.
All right, bye, guys. Bye. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.